A few weeks ago, Joel thought that I should share in the joy of the Advent season. And so he asked if I would like to preach during December. And so selfishly, I looked at the calendar and I said the 23rd, that's after all of the rehearsals and concerts. I didn't really look at the passages of Scripture. And when I did, I thought, well, an unusual passage for Advent. But then as I began to pull together the sermon, it became quite an emotional challenge as I focused on the four-letter word love. It'll be 3 years tomorrow that I held the last conversation with my father on the phone and quickly flew to Calgary the next day after our Christmas Eve service and was at his bedside when he passed away, feeling his last breath. 61 days yesterday, I was given a gift again of being able to be at the bedside of my mother who passed away. As I focused on this passage, going through my mind all the time, was this passage and how my parents reflected it. A great love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And the words of Joseph Martin, the beautiful, impossible of love's wondrous gift. The glorious improbable of heaven come to earth, the mystery and majesty of a miracle nativity, the beautiful, impossible, Jesus is love. The first love of my life was my mother. As was shared in her celebration service, she was free with her opinions. And as I prepared for her arrival this Christmas, she had planned on coming. Right at the back of my mind, I could hear her voice. Oh, Johnny, your office. And so I tried to straighten it out a bit. She was a prime example of the word love. She loved her friends. She loved her family. And she had a love for her faith. The greatest gift of love ever given, though, would come in human form, a baby to be born in a cattle stall, wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. How simple. How unexpected. How unbelievable for a king. What wondrous love. Dr. Gordon King was invited by my mother to do her service of celebration. And at one point, he thought he was going to share a little bit of humor. And he said, you know, Carol Nelson loved most pastors, emphasis on most. She offered her opinions freely on that. But she loved three pastors in particular. Johnny, Gary, and Dr. C. Howard Bentall. Gary's my brother. In my first or second year here as your associate pastor, a senior gave me a little booklet, and in the course of my attempt at decluttering my office, I came across this little booklet of sermons by Dr. C. Howard Bentall, who was a prominent minister in this church in the 40s. Full sanctuary, 300 people in Sunday school in the afternoon. He was also my senior pastor, First Baptist Church, Calgary, during my high school and university years, and wrote me many letters when I was in university and gave me opportunities of leadership on the platform at First Baptist. And I want to quote two paragraphs from his sermon, Bedlam to Bethlehem. It is so relevant today. And I quote, "Once more, we approach the birth of our Emmanuel. Our Lord, in a world of war and chaos. And once more we commemorate the coming of the Prince of Hope, Joy, Peace, and Love in a time of confusion, disorder. And once more the description of this sacred season is more like Bedlam than Bethlehem. In 1247, a hospital was founded in England, and to it was given the beautiful name St. Mary of Bethlehem. But 2 centuries later, it became a hospital for the mentally ill, and the noise and confusion of the institution became known throughout the countryside. And then the original name of Bethlehem, through contraction and corruption, finally became Bedlam. Dr. Bendel says, I'm afraid that in our modern day we do the same thing. The Christmas season is not a time of quiet thought, meditation, nor one of spiritual hope, joy, peace, and love. It is rather one of greed and noise. The selfish, fevered commercialization of the festive spirit, the frantic jostling through high-strung mobs in last-minute shopping and carousing on Christmas Eve, and the inordinate drinking and eating on Christmas Day, and then to complete the heartbreaking picture, you add the clash of arms and the bursting of bombs. It's a far cry from that lovely and beautiful day when, away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The whole scene sounds far more like Bedlam than Bethlehem. And here we are today in 2018 in the midst of wars, famine, tragedies, negative rhetoric, utter chaos. But we need to remind ourselves that God sent his only begotten Son into the world so that through him the world might be saved. God wants us. He wants to save us from unhappiness, a life of unhappiness. He wants us to become the kind of people that he intended us to be. He wants us to be satisfied, to be fulfilled. But he wants us to be a reflection of his image. God wants us, I believe, to discover happiness. But in today's society, we've kind of reversed that verse in Genesis where it says, God created man in the image of himself. In today's society, we seem to reverse that. And we've tried to make man making God in his image and likeness. John 3:21 says, those who do what is true come out into the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God, because God is a God of love. You and I, on our life journey, had to make a basic decision on how we intended to live our lives. Were we going to go down this path, or are we going to go down this? One focuses on self-centeredness, taking care of our own security, taking care of our own happiness. But by so doing, we create a barrier. We create a barrier so that we can't discover, out of genuine love, the happiness and fulfillment. Or we can take the other path, where we strive to be more a reflection of God, and seeking to do more for others than what we do for ourselves. Dr. Bentall once said in a sermon, and I've never forgotten it. In fact, when I met my soulmate, I asked myself these questions that Dr. Bentall proposed in his sermon. You have to ask yourself the question, I love you only because I need you, or I need you because I love you. Love should not depend on what you're expecting to receive in exchange. That's kind of the gospel truth. Joseph Martin says, the beautiful, impossible, God's star in the night that shines so incredible, 'tis God's guiding light. The hope of peace, how can it be? A little child has come to lead. The beautiful, impossible, Jesus is born. And this beautiful, impossible gift of God came to earth that through Him, the world might be saved. And that brings us to a question. Have you been saved? And you know, that question, it's not a someday or a tomorrow question. It's really a now question. And our whole life is dependent on how we answer that question. Another question is, why are we gathered here today? What's the purpose? Hopefully it's to prepare ourselves for what the true meaning of Christmas is. We're here to worship and adore. We're here to celebrate the acceptance of God, of hope and joy and peace, of love. And the Apostle Paul says, now is the favorable time. This is the day of salvation. You know, some of the most important phrases in our existence, sometimes they're three words. You phone a plumber on a long weekend, and you expect the worst, and they say, I'll be there. My mom's grandchildren phoned from Edmonton. Nana, we're coming to Calgary for a dance competition. And my mother always said, I'll be there. Dad, I have a concert in Winnipeg. Dad always seemed to have business in Winnipeg at crucial times like festivals and concerts and what have you. But when I did ask him, I'll be there. You know, nowadays we live in a world of automation and technical challenge. Our communication has become very impersonal. For example, I remember walking into a high school a few years ago and there were two young girls seated on the floor and they were feverishly texting away on their cells, and every once in a while they'd look at each other and they'd laugh. So I was curious. I felt I was old enough that I could get away with asking a question. I said, oh, you're having a great conversation. Who are you talking to? Each other. It reminded me of the scenario I heard in a sermon once put out by, I think it was the Wall Street Journal. And a husband phones home and he gets the answering service. Hi, this is your wife. To find out what's for dinner, press 1. To apologize for what you said to me, which was very mean this morning, press 2. To say I love you, press 3. And that brings us to another three-word phrase. The most important message that humans can deliver to one another at any time, but especially at Christmas time. I love you. The best Christmas gift that was ever given in love was announced by angels. Shepherds and wise men came from afar and bowed at the cradle, at this wondrous gift of love. God was delivering, and I apologize to Hallmark movies, a Christmas note of love, saying, I love you, through the birth of a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. And that brings us to more questions. How would you answer someone if they said, does your life have meaning now? Do you know how to find meaning now? Andre Crouch, gospel writer, wrote, Jesus is the answer. Yes, you can find meaning for your life now, because really God is the God of now. This is our salvation. You can't wait until all the stars line up, all your bills are paid, you feel secure. You need to move forward. You need to live in the now and experience the joys, and yes, the sorrows too, the triumphs, and yes, the defeats. But we need to live in the now in a way that the world would know us by our love. My parents were known by their love for each other. I can remember an occasion when they were in their mid to late 80s and my dad had been out doing errands and he walked in the door and he said, "Hi." And my mom turned to Debbie and she said, "My heart still flutters when I hear his voice." Burt Bacharach wrote the song, "What the World Needs Now Is Love, Sweet Now." Love. It wasn't what the world needs someday, hopefully, tomorrow, maybe. No. Now. What the world needs now, with all the problems that are bombarding us, is an illuminating of the light and love of Christ that shines within us. We really need a Bethlehem of love, not a bedlam. But you know, you and I have to help. We can't just let other people do it. And one of the last questions, how does one return such expressions of love? What can we possibly give to the babe that was born in a manger? The God of love blesses us. He gives us a gift. And how can we repay this? We can repay it with our hearts. We can decide that we are going to be a reflection of God. That we're going to invest our time and energy in other people, helping them find fulfillment and happiness. In the last few hours of my mother's life, I had been trying to be strong for 5 days. She didn't want emotion. She had said, "Johnny, I'm 93, I've lived a good life, I'm at peace, I'm happy, because I know where I'm going." And so to be strong, I stayed away from allowing myself to get emotional until I knew it was coming to the end, and I said, "Mom, I love you." And she said back, "And I love you." There is someone who loves us more deeply, more genuinely than your mother or your father. And it's the God of love. Dr. Bentall said, "Let us then, as people and as pilgrims, go even unto Bethlehem, not Bedlam, and kneel at the cradle of our Lord and pray, 'Drop thy still dews of quietness, till all our striving cease, take from our souls the strain and stress, and let our ordered lives confess the beauty of thy hope, joy, love, and peace.'" Into our silence, God's music sounds. Into our shadow, a star reaches out. And to the mangers of our empty hearts, God sends a Savior of love to give life a bright star. I wish for you a Merry Christmas, filled with many I'll be theirs, filled with joy, filled with many I love yous. Remember, the seeds of tomorrow are planted in the present. Bethlehem is what we need. Bethlehem of love, not Bethlehem of Bedlam. We need I'll be theirs. We need I love you. And we need those now, not someday, not tomorrow. God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, truly, truly, This is a Christmas note of love. Merry Christmas with love.